It's 63 degrees in Richland Center. WRCO News time is 12:07. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A former UW Richland staff member and county board member died last month. Linda Gentis, 76 of Richland Center, died unexpectedly September 6th at home as a result of a rapid infection. Linda believed in education as a changing opportunity for all people and dedicated much of her life to fostering these opportunities. She was an elementary school teacher in Connecticut and Illinois. In Richland Center, Linda was an outspoken advocate for the University of Wisconsin-Richland campus, acting as director of continuing education from 1986 to 2004. During this time, she earned her master's degree in continuing and vocational education at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in 1999. She inspired and organized the Love of Learning lectures, bringing both culture and practical information to members of the community from members of the community. While at UW-Richland in the 1990s, she was also the International Student Program Coordinator, nurturing and mentoring many young adults. Later in her career, for 14 years, Linda took on the role of a coordinator for engaging students in the first year, fostering non-traditional students in their first forays into college. Linda met her husband, Hank Neuenhaus, in 1977, and they shared 48 years together. They lived in Paris for nearly a year before moving to Wisconsin permanently in 1985 to the Mary Farm of Gotham in Lone Rock. There, Linda and Hank operated one of the first barn wedding venues in the state. Linda was deeply engaged in her community on every level. For the last 10 years, she served on the Richland County Board, chairing both the Health and Human Services Board and the UW-Richland Board, stepping down in 2024 to care for Hank. She had faith in the operations of community, of the political process, of civil discourse, and of fueling idealism with active pragmatism. A celebration of life will be held at 2 o'clock Sunday at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center with memory sharing and music. In an update from Pine Valley Community Village, it has been announced that the water supply has been tested and confirmed safe for all uses following recent concerns regarding the presence of bacteria in the system. The most recent water testing, completed in collaboration with local public health authorities and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, shows no detectable bacteria, and the water is fully compliant with all state and federal safety standards. Effective immediately, residents, staff, and visitors may safely use the facility's water for drinking, cooking, and hygiene. During the precautionary period, Pine Valley took immediate action to ensure the safety and comfort of all residents, including providing bottled water for drinking and hygiene needs, coordinating with environmental health and public utility experts, conducting system flushing and disinfection in accordance with state guidelines, and completing multiple rounds of laboratory testing to confirm water safety. Pine Valley is grateful for the patience and understanding of its residents, families, and staff during this time. The health and safety of residents are always the top priority. The water supply will continue to be monitored as part of its ongoing commitment to safety and regulatory compliance. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service is issuing a public health alert for FSIS-inspected ready-to-eat meals produced by Fresh Realm containing a Food and Drug Administration regulated ingredient, specifically spinach, that may be contaminated with listeria. The following products are subject to the public health alert: 10 1-ounce containers of HelloFresh ready-made meals, cheesy pulled pork pepper pasta with establishment number 47718 and lot code 49107, or establishment number 2937 and lot code 4884. This item was shipped directly to consumers by HelloFresh. And 10-ounce containers of HelloFresh ready-made meals on stuffed peppers with ground turkey with establishment number P47718 and lot codes 50069, 50073, or 50698. This item was shipped directly to consumers by HelloFresh. There have been no confirmed reports of adverse reactions due to consumption of these products. Anyone concerned about an illness should contact a healthcare provider. FSIS is concerned that these products may be in consumers' refrigerators or freezers. Consumers who have purchased these products are urged not to consume them. These products should be thrown away or returned to the place of purchase. FSIS expects additional affected products to be identified and will update this public health alert as more information becomes available. Consumers should check frequently. A community forum was held in Richland Center last week to update residents about the Richland School District, Simons Recreation Complex, the Richland Hospital and Clinics, the City of Richland Center, and Richland County. Steve Board serves as the Richland School District Administrator. He is happy with how the partnership with the city and county have made a positive impact on the school district.
We've worked very closely with the City of Richland Center a few years ago in establishing our Community Resource Officer program. Working with Chief Jones and the City Administrator and the Mayor and the City Council to have a Community Resource Officer in our schools makes our schools much more safe. It makes our schools a place where students and staff have a connection with the law enforcement. So often, there are families and children where their only interaction with law is negative. And so by having someone right there in our schools that can work with students in a positive way, it's just been wonderful. We're also currently working with the city on Hive Drive. The school district owned Hive Drive for several years leading up to the high school. That was transferred over to the city. And we're working closely with the city and trying to get a sidewalk and lights going up Hive Drive to be able to connect the sidewalk from Highway 14 at the intersection all the way up to the high school property. I think that that's a great win if that can come to fruition. We've also worked very closely with the county as it relates to the MOU that we have for our gym space and our fields next to the high school. We had a shortage of gym space, and so having that MOU in place and having a place for our students to be able to go and practice after school activities and have the space adjacent to the gymnasium available as well is a tremendous win. We're also working very closely with Simons on trying to get all of our third graders to get some swimming lessons yet this school year. And that's a collaboration that would not happen if we wouldn't have the connections and the partnerships that we all have up here.
Board also gave an update on the capital improvements being done at the district thanks to residents who approved the referendum.
Primary school has had a lot of construction going on this past summer. We did a lot of parking lot work and exterior work, new bus loops, new parent pickups. That seems to be going very well. Air conditioning was installed. There's four kindergarten classrooms that, if you remember, they were sinking. In fact, the walls were literally 8 to 12 inches pulled away from the rafters. Okay, and so that was part of what we needed to fix. And so those four classrooms were demolished, removed, dug down 12 feet, replaced bad soil with good soil, built the foundation back up. That was scheduled to be done somewhere between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We had a little bit of a setback here right before school started. There was an accident with some trusses that were being set, fell and collapsed. Fortunately, just so fortunate that no one got seriously injured with that, but it did set us back a couple of weeks. So we're aiming a little bit more towards the first part of December or into the Christmas break to be able to move those kindergarten classrooms back into the newly developed classrooms. At the intermediate school, the majority of the work that is getting done there will happen next summer. There is some work that happened this summer as it related to just some infrastructure during the school year. They're going to be working on remodeling the restrooms. They've added a restroom down on the south end of the building near the gymnasium. And then once that is fully up and running, which should be around November 1st, then they will be able to systematically and strategically shut down other restrooms throughout the building, one at a time, to be able to renovate those. So by the time the school year is over, we're hoping to have all of the restrooms completed. But the vast majority of the things that are happening at the intermediate school will happen next summer. High school, some upgrades to our auditorium. We're working out a timeline for that right now. That's a very specific skill set. And so we're hoping to try to get some of the work done during the school year. working around not only the concerts and events that our school district has, but also the events that our community is used to having in our auditorium. We want to make sure that we can accommodate as many or all of them if possible. So we're working with the contractors to try to get as much of that done in between performances. And then again, the exterior and a lot of the restrooms will be done at the high school next summer.
Steve Board also shared good news about enrollment in the Richland School District after implementing some new programs.
When you take our graduating class from 2025 and you replace it with our 4K grades, we were going to be down 45 students. If everybody in our district just stayed where they were at, we were going to decline 45 students by graduating 45 students more than we were bringing in 4K. Our enrollment numbers on the third Friday count are plus 25 over 2425's number, which is a 70 student swing, 70 students that we were able to get back this school year. Our open enrollment out last year was 251 students choosing school elsewhere, 216. That's 35 students that we were able to live in our school district that we were able to get back to our school districts. That's about $200,000 of revenue, just to kind of put that in perspective.
While that is good news, Board said that they still have a long way to go. A fundraising milestone in the race for Wisconsin's next governor. As originally reported by Spectrum News, Wisconsin, the campaign of Republican 7th District Congressman Tom Tiffany announced Monday that it's raised $1 million less than 2 weeks off after officially launching. In a statement, Tiffany said Democrats are propped up by Hollywood millionaires and coastal elites, while his campaign is building a grassroots movement in the state. The campaign of Republican candidate Washington County Executive Josh Shulman had raised just over $425,000 between entering the race in May and the July campaign finance report to the State Ethics Commission. The next campaign finance filing deadline with the commission is on January 15th. Hundreds of citations and dozens of arrests at this year's Oktoberfest in La Crosse. La Crosse police confirmed Monday that they issued 229 citations and arrested 50 people over the weekend. Over half of those citations were for underage drinking. They also dealt with a 60-person fight, people stealing manhole covers, a person who fought with cops trying to arrest them, and someone who nearly fell into the Mississippi River. In total, the department handled over 1,100 calls for service, double their normal amount. The Pulling Together Tour, sponsored by Southwest Partners, will be making a stop tomorrow at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. The event is being held to help promote and discuss the book, Pulling Together, a Handbook for Community Change. The book is co-authored by Tom Muscaler and Mike Brenninger. Brenninger, who is from Richland Center, tells what the book is about.
It's talking about working together and getting positive things accomplished, even across or especially across ideological divides. You know, today it's the right, the left, fighting, nobody's getting much done. And this is kind of a solution to that. And the other thing is it's giving a lot of smaller communities hope, because if you just look and say, well, there's not much going on, and I don't just want to say Richland Center, I'm saying small town America is kind of experiencing this. We seem to be hollowing out. Our young people are leaving. Not much encouraging things happening in the community. And when it turns around and you start seeing those positive things happen, then people get excited about that. They want to see their communities thrive. And that's really the theme of the book. It's not like we've turned around thousands of places yet, but we hope that that is eventually what happens.
The event will also feature Jeff Yost, president and CEO of the Nebraska Community Foundation.
In Nebraska, he has about over 270 communities that he's working with all the time. He's set up community foundations. So there's people leaving money in these community foundations. Usually it's legacy money that is then being reinvested in the community, and they're generating all kinds of great ideas, and it's caused communities to turn around in Nebraska. It's an amazing success story. So even though we've got three times the population in Wisconsin, we still face the same kind of decline in small communities that Nebraska does. And Nebraska has been able to turn that around. So this guy is a voice that is so needed, especially in rural communities.
One topic that will be discussed focuses on youth.
How can we make a community attractive for young people to say, I am going to plant my family there? We're going to grow in that community. We're going to spend our money at the grocery store. We're going to send our kids to the schools. We are part of that community. And the amazing generation of what happens when a single family stays in a community or comes to a community is, it's not just financial. You know, they bring all their talent, their resources, their energy comes with them. And so that is one of the keys to make a community alive, is something for the youth not only to do, but to be interested in staying or coming back and raising their family there.
Mike Brenninger hopes that the book and the event will help create ideas to help attract individuals to communities like Richland Center to help them and the community prosper.
I know people that have moved to the Richland Center area from a large city that are making a lot of money, and they're doing all their work online, or nearly all of their work online. So we are such an attractive community for somebody like that. We've got clean, healthy environment, good education, low cost of living, wonderful place to live with close to zero crime. I mean, how could they ask for anything better? So places like Richland Center are super attractive. We just need to get marketing ourselves to people that are going to be interested.
The Pulling Together event, sponsored by Southwest Partners, will be held from 11 to 1 tomorrow at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. The event, which includes a lunch, is free and open to the public. If you plan on attending, please RSVP Mick Cosgrove at mcosgrove57@gmail.com or text Mike Brenninger at 608-604-7226. You can also find more information at pulling-together.com. Military veterans deserve great benefits for all that they have done for our country. If you are a veteran, the Richland County Veterans Service Office encourages you to stop by their office and discuss what benefits you are entitled to. Karen Knock is a Veterans Service Officer.
There's so many changes all the time. Changes to the VA system, to the healthcare system, to income limits, levels, new things that they're adding to presumptive lists, especially now with Iraq and Afghanistan wars that are still coming out, that we just ask people to stop in and just see what's new.
There are benefit programs that help not only veterans. Hugo Santiago is a veterans benefit specialist.
There's programs to continue on, both state and national. They're being pushing to add additional benefits, whether it's for the veteran or their dependents. So it's not just the veteran, because their families can also benefit from the veteran's situation.
Karen Knox says that the 2025 benefits book is available and covers what is available to veterans.
They're federal books. They're not state benefits. They're the federal. And they basically talk about everything from A to Z. They give descriptions on life insurance policies, health care, talks about CHAMP-VA, which is a separate for a dependent. It talks about service-connected disabilities, presumptives. They don't update the books every year, and they just happened to this year. And so we jumped on them, and I got 100 of them in my office. So anybody that has any questions or just wants a really thorough overview to read, to reference, we have them in the office, and they can stop by and pick one up.
There is new information since the last time the benefits book was updated.
2022 was the last book. In the last 3 years, there have been additional presumptives added. The VA life insurance policy that they came out with not too long ago. It also talks about the disabled life insurance policy. But yeah, they've definitely improved a lot of the existing policies, implemented new ones, and updated the presumptives list.
If you would like to discuss veterans' benefits, you can stop by the Richland County Services Office, located on the second floor of the Richland County Courthouse Building at 181 West Seminary Street in Richland Center. Office hours are 8:30 to 4:30, Monday through Friday. You can also contact the office and set up an appointment, which is recommended, by calling 608-647-6101. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources urges Wisconsinites and state visitors to think twice before giving invasive species or harmful hitchhikers a ride in their firewood this fall. Ahead of National Firewood Month, this month helped the DNR prevent the spread of invasive pests by making smart firewood choices. Tree-killing hitchhikers often lurk on or inside firewood. These include the spongy moth, Asian longhorn beetle, emerald ash borer, the fungus that causes oak wilt, and many other invasive insects and fungi. Your firewood choices are important, and with good practice, you can help slow the spread of these tree-killing pests and diseases. When untreated firewood is transported away from the tree where it was harvested, those pests and fungi can later emerge to attack trees at the new location. This can happen whether that new location is in the next town or hundreds of miles away. The Don't Move Firewood website urges people to buy local, burn local. That means purchasing firewood for your camping trip on site instead of bringing it from home or picking it up along the way. It's also strongly recommended that campers leave any unused firewood behind. It's not worth bringing a pest home to infest your property. The same guidelines apply to those who use wood to heat their cabin or home. Closer is better. You don't want to put the trees on your property at risk from hitchhiking insects or fungi. However, firewood that has been treatment certified by the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection is safe and legal to take anywhere in the state. All staff state parks and forests with campgrounds offer local firewood for sale, and firewood is often available for purchase privately nearby. To find local firewood sellers and vendors of certified firewood, visit the Firewood Scout website.